Right? It's always a joy to be able to step up from the pew where I normally am, to be able to step up here and to walk through the Word with you. And so we're going to do that through the Gospel of Matthew. So if you go to Matthew 14, we're going to begin by looking at verse 22, and we'll walk through verse 33. So Matthew 14. This is God's Word. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Would you join me in prayer? Most gracious God and Father, as we've heard your word, we recognize, Lord, that we believe. Help us where we don't. And Lord, I pray by your Spirit, you just take this moment as a moment in our journey. A journey through this life, and that, Lord, it will be a shaping moment for us. So Spirit, speak, we pray, into each one of our minds and our hearts and our lives, in Jesus' name, amen. Comfort zone. This phrase was believed to be first used in the 1920s by an indoor climate theorist. And what he was trying to do is he was trying to figure out that range or that zone of temperatures where people, humans, are most comfortable, right? If you wonder what that range or temperature is, let me just tell you, this week outside with its temps and humidity will not be it, right? We may melt, I'm not sure. But since that use of that phrase, it's broadened much. This phrase is used in a much broader way. And Brené Brown is someone who gives it a definition. So I just want you to hear that broader definition. This is what she says. A comfort zone is where our uncertainty, scarcity, and vulnerability are minimized. Where we believe we'll have access to enough love, food, talent, time, admiration. Where we feel we have some control. That's a comfort zone. And if I'm honest with you here this morning, I think that that describes the American life. Describes the Pella life, if I can touch that close, for at least many of us. You see, comfort is a core value where we live. To live in the comfort zone is a goal, I would say, of many of us, if not all of us. Where we have enough of things that we want around us and where we have enough control in our life to feel at least a little bit secure. And I believe this has bled not only into American culture, it has bled into the culture of the church here in the West. And I want you to hear me very, very clearly. This is not criticism. I love the church dearly. It's why I do what I do. What I want you to hear out of this statement is it's a reality statement. It is what we face. With my role with Resonate Global Mission, I get to see churches all around the globe, and this is not the goal or the posture of many churches. And it's not what we see happening in our text today when it comes to the church. And when I say that, I'm talking about the disciples and Jesus. So let's look into this. Let's dive. Let's go to verse 22. We're just going to walk through verse by verse. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. I want you to note that word immediately. It's going to be used three times in the passage that we're looking at. It's a pretty key one. How it's being used here is it's a transition word. It's transitioning us from what has just taken place to what is going to take place. And what has just taken place, if you scroll up into chapter 13, you're going to see that Jesus fed a crowd of over 5,000 people. And he did it with a meager 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He made in that moment a lot of filet of fish. That's what he did for the crowd. Minus tartar sauce, I think, because it wasn't there. This is a miracle that points to the reality that Jesus is Lord, right? He's over all things. He can supersede our earthly limitations just with his presence and his power. And it's immediately from that most impactful incident that the disciples were able to see and witness. And I'm highlighting the disciples because that's who's going to be and what happens. But they're also the ones who knew the ingredients, the meager ingredients of that feast that he provided for everyone. And it's immediately after that impactful incident that Jesus made the disciples, according to this verse, get into the boat. I want you to see this, though. That word made them. There's some force behind that. Jesus, with his presence and power, is directing them. He's instigating this. He sends them off urgently onto the water while he stays back. He dismisses the crowd. He sees the last carb consumers have left to go home. And then verse 23. After he had dismissed them, the crowds, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. So after this most impactful incident with the crowds, the bread and the fish, he sends the disciples, but he sends himself somewhere else on a mountainside to pray. That takes intentionality to hike a mountain for the purpose to be alone, one-on-one with the Father. That's what he's doing. He's not seeking fame from the crowd that had just surrounded him. He's seeking space with his Father who loves and cares for him. We'll return to that, but let's keep moving. Verse 24. And the boat, that's what Jesus was doing, now the disciples. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind that was against it. Couple things here. Considerable distance is how the NIV translates it. It really comes from the Greek word stadia, which was a measurement term that they used in Jesus' day for a foot race. And so this is like many stadia away this boat is. It's highlighting the gap between Jesus and his disciples who are now, we're finding, in a not-so-good situation. And I like how Matthew crafts this. If you read that, it almost sounds like there's a fight, doesn't it? Like the disciples are facing a foe in this moment, and the foe, the enemy, is the wind. It's creating waves that are threatening their lives. And if I can just say, the space the disciples are in is no comfort zone. In many ways, there is uncertainty. There is scarcity, there is vulnerability, and there is little control that they have in this moment. It's not a comfort zone. And yet it's where Jesus sends them. Verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Now just look at the contrast of those verses. The disciples are facing a fight. They're facing a foe that is trying to sink them. This is the transition. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them. There's no immediately attached to this. It almost seems like Jesus lingered on the mountain a while they were in this storm. It's not like Jesus is a firefighter running into a burning building to rescue his disciples in this moment. That's not the picture we get. And I think what it's conveying is Jesus' non-anxious presence, fully on display, walking. Like if you see someone you love who's in danger, are you going to walk? So often when I read that, it was like, well, of course Jesus just walked. But wait, the situation demands urgency. Matthew could have said he ran to them. That's not what he does. He walks to them, even though the distance from him is great. Another thing I want you to note about this word walk is other authors like Paul use this word to mean to live. So like if you go to the book of Ephesians with Paul, he would write, live, it's the word walk, in a manner worthy of Christ. Same word. Before we leave this verse, I just want you to note that this is Jesus' way of life. He is walking. He is coming always closer to his disciples. That's his way of life. Walking towards us in our destructive life situations. That's the incarnation. That's why Jesus came to this earth, to come close. He doesn't wait to be summoned. The disciples aren't summoning him. Jesus sees and he steps closer. That's his way of life. That's his way of being. Verse 26. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. Jesus displaying non-anxious presence, not so much the disciples. Right? We could translate this, they are freaking out totally. That's what's happening. Because they don't initially see that it's Jesus. And their fear takes grip. They think it's a ghost. They think it's a sailor's superstition coming to life. It's a post-mortem pirate coming to pillage them and pull them down to Davy's locker, right? Which is why the text says they were terrified. It means that their insides are agitating back and forth like the sea around them. They're getting sick to their stomach. Not because of the sea, but because of what they think they see. Verse 27. But Jesus immediately said to them, let me just pause there. This isn't Jesus anxious and so needing to speak. Again, I take this more as seeing someone they love, truly seeing them, and immediately acting out of love and care. That's what's going on. And so he speaks. He says, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Take courage. It's a phrase that means have this bold inner attitude. It makes sense because their current inner attitude is this agitating back and forth, getting sick out of fear. Have this bold inner attitude. Not because fear is the wrong response in this moment. That's not it. Take courage because he says, it is I. I, the great I am, I'm stepping close. I'm here. As I was studying and thinking and praying about this text this week, what came to my mind during this part of the text was Genesis 1. Genesis 1 is the great creation moment, right? Where God speaks and everything comes into being. Jesus, who spoke in the beginning as the triune God, speaks here. And what I think this moment is it is also a creation moment. Right? In Genesis 1, if you read that, you're going to find that God speaks and he separates the light from the darkness. He separates the land from the water. Jesus could speak in this moment and separate the storm from the disciples. He doesn't. He's creating something. He's continuing the creation process of his disciples into who they are called to be. That's what's happening. And we see that with Peter's response. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Lord, meaning master, the one that I follow, the one that I serve, also can mean the one who is over all. If it's you, tell me to come on the water. It's at this point in the text that honestly, as I was studying this and thinking through it and praying about it, that I started to have some wonderings. I just want to invite you into one of those wonderings, all right? So often when I read this, I chalk it up to the rash, bold disciple. This is just being Peter, right? The one who always steps out of the crowd. And I wonder if that's what this is about. And I wonder, is this more about Peter, the fisherman? Or Peter, the sailor? Because when Peter was called to follow Jesus as Lord, where was he standing? On a boat, right? A fishing boat. In fact, if we go back to Matthew 4, this is where it takes place. And we read that Jesus first calls Peter and Andrew, his brother. And when he calls them to follow, this is what happens. Immediately, Matthew says. There's that word again. They left their nets and followed him. Just a little bit later, he calls James and John, who were also fishermen, standing on a boat with their father. And the text says, immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. What I wonder about is, is this Peter remembering his calling? Jesus didn't call him to stand on a boat, but to come to him. And that word come in our text, it has this nuance to it. It means to accompany someone, like to follow someone, to follow him wherever Jesus is. And even though they're in a storm, let's just note this. Like, for a fisherman, the boat is the safe place. The boat is a fisherman's comfort zone. He knew that so well. That had been his life. He at least had some control in the boat, right? When the storm hit, I see Peter be like, all hands on deck, batten down the hatches, right? Just let's get some control of this boat in the middle of the storm. But now he asks, if it's you, Jesus, let me accompany you in the place where a sailor, a fisherman, there is absolute vulnerability, scarcity, and utter uncertainty. Jesus, let me be a sailor without a boat. As a fisherman, the stars navigated me constantly, to my directions. The storm is present. The stars are blocked out. Jesus, you're my true north. Let me come to you. And this is what Jesus says, come. Accompany me. And so Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. And what I think this shows us is how Peter believed in Jesus. Let me show that by giving you a couple quotes from Dallas Willard. This is what he writes. We don't believe something by merely saying we believe it, or even when we believe that we believe it. We believe something when we act as if it were true. This is Peter acting, taking action, because he believes it to be true, Jesus to be true as Lord. He's doing this as a disciple who stepped out of the boat before. Let me give you a definition by Willard of a disciple. Disciple, or an apprentice is his preferred word, is someone who has decided to be with another person, to come, to accompany them, in order to become capable of doing what that person does, or to become what that person is. Peter stepping out of the safe sailor structure to be with Jesus as a disciple, capable of doing what Jesus is currently doing, walking on water. But this is also a creation moment. I've already said that, right? This is also about him stepping out and becoming like Jesus, not as Lord, but living out a bold inner attitude that aligns with who Jesus is creating Peter to be. A faithful follower, wherever Jesus is. But like so many stories, there's usually a but that happens, right? There's one here. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, that's our third immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And that word doubt is, I think, a way to summarize and get to the heart of these verses and what's going on. It's a compound word, actually. It's two words smashed together. The first word is the word to, like the number two. The second word is stance, belief, position. Doubt means you have two stances on something or two beliefs. Peter had a belief in Jesus as Lord. It's not that he didn't have any faith. He had faith. That's why he stepped out on the water. The thing is he had another belief going on with that. He had a belief in the power of the wind that he saw causing those buffeting waves. He had a dual belief. That's doubt. What I love here, like I said at the start of the sermon, Jesus is not criticizing Peter here. It's not what he's doing. He's simply naming a reality that's happening within Peter as the storm's going on. No, the storm has not been shut down yet. If I can note just a real quick side note too, I also believe that Peter was not a failure here. For a few reasons, but the main reason is that there is fruit that's happening from this. There is creation. Things are being created from this. And it's on the boat. Look at this. And when they, Peter and Jesus, climbed into the boat, the wind died down. It's as if the purpose of the wind found its completion. after Peter was sinking, and Jesus immediately grabbed his hand and named the reality. This is the fruit. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Peter sinks. Jesus grabs him. The storm ceases. And the people who witnessed it worshiped. It was through that whole scene that they saw Jesus truly for the first time on that water. "You are the Son of God, not a ghost." There's a few things that I want us to bring and to think about from this passage, okay, to close out this message. That's the text. Two things. The first thing I just want us to note is that comfort zones are not guaranteed in life. Please note that. I just want you to think of the times where you have felt vulnerable, where you have felt uncertain, where you have felt scarcity of love, of belonging, of strength, of hope, of safety. Maybe you felt one of those things already this morning. Because there are no guarantees of comfort zones in life. In fact, if you go to the Gospel of John, what does Jesus say? In this world, you will have comfort zones, right? Trouble. It's almost like he's promising the opposite. Life will look like the sea the disciples were on, and your inner boldness will shrink and it will shake, it will agitate back and forth. You know what has caused that in your life? You know what is causing that in your life right now. And what I want you to hear from this text is even if we are an anxious mess, freaking out in this life, like the disciples on the boat, Jesus is not. In fact, what he's doing is he's walking. It's his way of being. He's coming closer to you, ready to speak into you, to make it a creation moment, and ready to grab your hand as Savior. The key in all of this for us is for Jesus to be our true north, our life's constant direction. You may even have a dual belief in those moments, right now, maybe. You fully believe in Jesus, yes. You also believe in the strength of the current storm. It's your reality. And all I ask you to remember is that that did not stop Jesus from grabbing Peter. And it won't stop Jesus from grabbing hold of you. So if that's you, or sometime in the future it's you, which, not to be a downer, it will be, just step to Jesus. In the uncertainty, the vulnerability, the lack of control, don't try to build a comfort zone. I say that because I've tried that. It doesn't work. Be a sailor without a boat, taking a step closer to Jesus, who is stepping closer to you. The second thing I want us to note is this. There is great comfort in being a disciple of Jesus. Great comfort. But little to no comfort zones. There's a difference there. And again, if I can just be so bold, we, the American church, the Pella church, the Western church, however you want to phrase it, we have set up the gatherings of disciples with much comfort. Yes, around the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1, but Jesus is our comfort, right? But I believe there's a dual belief going on. And I just want to name the reality. We believe in a different comfort. And I say that because it dominates our actions. As disciples, we come to a service like this. We're fed with a sermon, hopefully a good one. I hope. We center so much around Sunday, just one day a week. If that's our only practice as a disciple, that's really easy. Little sacrifice. This was never meant to be the center of our discipleship. Never. Please hear me. This isn't criticism. I'm not saying this is bad. I love this. I wouldn't be here if I didn't. But I wonder, let me give you another wondering. I wonder, is this what Jesus calls us to? Alone. With his words, is he creating us to be Sunday attenders? Sometimes it feels like we build climate-controlled environments that meet our Christian comfort zones. Instead of sailors exposed to the weather, exposed to the condition. You see, you and I, we were not created and called by Jesus simply to sit and receive as our primary posture. Let me add an asterisk to that because I want you to hear me fully. Yes, we are to be with the Father like Jesus was on the mountain. That's where we should sit and be. We need to abide constantly and always in his love and his grace. We need to receive that time with him so we know our identity and we are unwaveringly connected to him in the storms of life, but also the joy. We need to constantly accompany Jesus where he is. But in this text, we also see Jesus sending people. He sends his disciples out. He sends out the crowds. And throughout the gospel, if you'd read the whole thing, you would see that he is sending us out as his disciples into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, into our ball diamonds, into our grocery stores, into our favorite coffee shops. Anywhere we are is where we are sent. And our missional movement, one that I see so constantly in the work that I do, is that we invite people to places like this as our main missional movement. Is that good? Yes. Is it hospitable? Yes. I love that. But this is also the place where we feel safe. It's the place where we have some control. And it's the place where we feel less vulnerable. But for so many other people today, this place will terrify them, will cause their stomach to agitate back and forth. Because they've been hurt by the church. Or they see how media portrays Christians. And it's not how we are. Our walk and our way of life must be like Jesus to step closer to people. Where they are. In the storms of their life. That like this scene on the water, they get to see Jesus as Lord and Savior in and through you, and the fruit being they also worship. So many ways our calling is to be a full-time, coordinated team of sailors on a boat, advancing his mission together. So if I can just invite you into something, a practice, it's typically what I like to do. I'm going to invite you this week, this day, and I hope it goes beyond a week, into the practice of prayer, rooting us back to where Jesus was on the mountain. As disciples, take time to be alone one-on-one with the Father. Why? Because that's our true comfort zone. It will strip away other comfort zones that we hunker down in. And if that's too vague for you, like if prayer for you at times is just difficult, like it is for me, just to be totally vulnerable, like over the past probably month or so, one of my main prayers is teach me to pray. Not because I don't know the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes that one-on-one quiet space with the Father, like, I've got so much other things going on, it becomes really difficult for me, just being real. So if you need a prompt conversation with the Father, which is a space, not just to talk at God, like Jesus was there through the night. I don't think he talked the whole time. I think he just enjoyed the presence of the Father. I'm sure he spoke, and I'm sure he listened. So if you need a prompt for a conversation, this is what I would give you this week. If you're going to speak and then listen, ask him this: Father, how can I be a sailor without a boat? How are you calling me to be your disciple, not to build a comfort zone and security for myself, but to live into your mission, which means vulnerability, scarcity, and uncertainty? How can I accompany you where you're already at work in this town and this community and beyond? And in that one-on-one, if you sense God calling you to do something, I just invite you to say what Peter said. If this is of you, tell me to come. Tell me to accompany you. Because we don't believe something because we say we do. We don't believe something because we believe it. We believe something when we act upon that belief. So faith, together, let us be a sailor, a gathering of sailors without a boat. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, would you pray with me? Gracious God, we have said that this is your word. We long for the Holy Spirit to speak further into our minds and our hearts and our beings. And all I simply pray now is that this is a creation moment for us in some way. That as it was for the disciples when Jesus spoke on the waters, this can be for us. We want nothing less. We want to know you further and more. And we long for you to continue to craft us, to create us, to be who you've created us and called us to be as your disciples. Give us an ache for you that can only be satisfied. Give us a comfort only from you, the one that will only satisfy. and give us a bold inner attitude. That's from you. To join you in the mission you have for us as your church today. We pray this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.